Anyways, want to talk a little bit about, I think, it was titled The Reluctant Leader, and I think to a certain extent with that title, I feel myself in that category sometimes in leadership, and I think all of us do. And just want to share some things, personal experiences, some things that I've seen that are key to leading our peers, leading people who are of the same age group, and maybe not people that we're in authority over, but what are some key things, and how do we lead those people? And I think the same principles apply to people that are in under us in terms of our authority as well. So it's a small group, it's interactive, so, you know, this is meant to be, you know, I may talk for 20 or 30 minutes and then we can spend some time dialoguing for 20 or 30 minutes, something like that. But so as I'm talking, think about questions or whatever you want to talk about and we'll dive into it. So I want to start off with kind of defining what is leadership, and at least we'll have a common basis of what it is. So I'll throw that out to you guys. Give me some thoughts on what leadership is. Well, I think we got a winner right there. Yeah, absolutely. I think at the most basic level is influence. And I think as we talk through this today, is everything we're talking about influencing people. And at its essence, that's really what I think leadership is. And most books and everybody says the same thing. So I guess a little bit about, I think, leading your peers, some things that I see that make that a difficult thing. I think it's probably the hardest group to lead, and from my experience watching, you know, people that work for me and certainly leading people, you know, you don't have authority over them, so it's not positional leadership. You don't, you're not leading your boss, so you're not trying to, you know, kiss up or something like that. You know, it tests you, and I think it really makes you a better leader, and it really, at its essence, we're talking of, if influence is the definition of leadership, trying to influence people who, you know, who you don't have authority over is really what leadership is. You know, if you have authority, then it makes it a little bit easier. You can always default to fear and intimidation tactics, which is the worst, you know, the worst kind of thing, which, but, you know, in my experience, that's what a lot of people do, and they confuse that with leadership. So that's why I think talking about leading people, our peers and things like that is a good place to start. I'll give you a little bit about my background. For those of you who don't know, I grew up in business. My family has some different businesses in town, and grew up working there and watching people and kind of learning things. And my parents would take me to a lot of seminars and things when I was a little kid and expose me to a lot of different things and, you know, community leaders and politicians and various things around the country. And then around the dinner table, spent a lot of time talking about business and leadership and all these kinds of things. And my grandfather was very influential in kind of forming a lot of my thoughts on leadership. And, you know, he really pressed me to watch people and become a student of people and really try to understand what motivates people, why do people do what they do, how are people different, and really forced me to continue to do that and try to understand, you know, how to influence them based on that. I went to Clovis West, went to Fresno State, then started working for my family, and I've been doing that for the last 6 years. And at first, my dad, he gave me a, you know, because I thought, well, I should have some kind of title or responsibility or something, and he kind of thought, well, you don't really need a title. You just go out there and, you know, learn what you can and do what you think's right. Okay. So I went out and started working and doing this and doing that and trying to figure out, okay, well, what should happen? What's right here? What's not right here? And again, trying to build on that understanding why people do what they do and trying to influence change, you know, looking at things and saying, well, geez, this doesn't seem right. You know, this could be better. This could be different. And I think in business as in life, you know, so much is about how can we improve things, because if we're doing the same thing we did yesterday, we're going to get the same results we got yesterday, and the question is that good enough or not? And in business, it's certainly not good enough. And our Christian lives, if we're going to influence people, you know, we've got to continue to change and continue to drive in that way. So I learned a lot through that, and eventually grew into some positions of authority, and then I went to being more authoritative and trying to vacillate between, okay, now I'm managing, but maybe I got too far this way, and then going back over to the other side and trying to lead from an influence standpoint. And so I've continued to learn, every day. Every day I look back, I realize that I know a little bit less than I knew the day before, because, I realized I thought I knew what I was doing, but, it's a continuous process. So a little bit about me. Right now I'm the vice president of our company, and I've got about 400 people that work for me, and I've got an executive team of about 5 people. And so some of the things I talk through will relate to those people. And it's really interesting in the organization, because we're talking about leading your peers. I think one of the most distinguishing factors between people who are successful that work for me and people who are just mediocre or failures, the difference is how they lead people that they don't have authority over. Because a lot of people can lead their teams. They know where they want to go. They know what they want to do. But they have a hard time leading their peers, influencing their peers, getting along with their peers, and working together. And these are people who are in their, doesn't matter how old they are, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, that can't get along with each other, and it's no different than the kids in kindergarten that are fighting with each other, and yet we grow up and we don't really learn how to influence each other. And so I want to dive into that a little bit, and that's kind of the basis of the talk. There's 3 key things I want to discuss, and they're all absolutely simple to understand, and yet they're very hard to do. And I think that's another point of leadership, is I would be surprised if you haven't thought about everything I'm going to say already, but I would challenge you to evaluate where you're at in leading others and press yourself on it and say, where am I at on the scale of 1 to 10 on each of these different things, and how can I improve and how can I do a little bit better, because I certainly have a long ways to go on all the things I'm going to talk about. And every day it's getting a little bit better. So first point is clarify and define your purpose. I think that's the starting point. Whether you're leading your peers or you're leading people under you, what's your vision? What's your mission? Your goals, objectives, your cause, your reason? At the 30,000 foot level, where do you want to be? And then under the same basis, there's a lot of objectives and goals and little things you want to accomplish to drive towards that. But you really have to clarify what is that. If you don't know where you're going as a leader, you're certainly not going to get anyone there. So that's the basis. And something I think is important along with that in defining what it is it's not about you. Find something a little bit bigger than yourself. And that's true in business. A lot of things seem selfish on the outset, but if there's an underlying cause that's bigger than yourself, you're going to have a lot better success at driving it forward. And as Christians, certainly we're called to something that's a whole lot bigger than ourselves. But it's true in any aspect of leadership. Along the lines of that, of defining your purpose, you really have to be sold out on it before you can get other people to buy into it. I've had some people work for me, one guy in particular. And this guy was a younger guy, very talented, came up through the ranks in the business, and really had everything going for him in terms of basis to continue to grow. But it was really about himself, and he really wasn't sold out on what he was trying to accomplish. And he just could not influence any of his peers to get done what he needed to get done. And he couldn't understand why they wouldn't buy into it. Well, the basis was he wasn't really sold out on it. So how's he going to share this purpose and this vision if he's not really passionate about it? And so he just went about doing things and couldn't understand why people wouldn't follow him. And I'm talking about his peers in this case, because he needed people alongside him to help him accomplish what he needed to. And he had a whole group of people working for him. And I worked with him and worked with him and worked with him, and other people worked with him and tried to influence him. But he just couldn't capture that. And he's not with us any longer, but I've seen countless people deal with that. And it's a simple thing, but it's very difficult to do. And I think along the same lines as that is really having a clear understanding of what the purpose is, and that would seem simple, but you can't articulate it if it's not clear. And there's a lot of discipline that goes along with that. And I find myself, wanting to take the shortcut sometimes on laying that out. And I get an idea in my mind, I want to go this direction, and here's what I want to do, and I half clarify it. Then I go to explain it to people, and I may only give them 50% of it. Then I can understand why it didn't get done. And it really takes some time to sit back, pull back, think about what it is, and write it down. You know, lay out the key points. I always encourage people to write things when it comes to purpose, vision, objectives, measurements. What are the things that you need to accomplish? Because it really comes back to communication. And if you're not able to communicate 100% of what you're trying to share, you're certainly not going to get the results that you're trying to get. And this is probably 80% of the problems I think we have in business is related to communication. And generally, people think that they have it figured out. You know, in our minds, we think that we've figured out what we're saying, but we're not saying what other people are hearing. And again, it comes back to, did you take the time to really clarify it in your mind and lay it out? And did you take the time to put it on paper and think about how everyone else is going to perceive it? And I think as leaders, we have to do that. And it's a very, very difficult discipline to do. But if you don't, it's going to be a challenge. Along the same lines, what I'm seeing more and more, too, is with the different generations. You know, the younger people want to know why. Older people didn't really care why. And you could go out and you could say, I want you to do it. Because I have people that work for me that are in, you know, multiple generations. And The people that have been around a long time, you can say, this is what I need you to do, and it gets done. The younger people, this is what I need you to do, and it doesn't get done. You wonder, why didn't it get done? And he wanted to understand why, he or she. Why did I need to do this? Why do I need to do that? And then they want some space to do it. So you almost have to take an even more aggressive approach in explaining things today and in the future than I think we did yesterday. And along those same lines, this is kind of a tangent, but you know, people today are so busy and so caught up in life. You know, you're talking on the cell phone, watching TV, driving, doing everything at the same time. And people at work are thinking about their divorce and thinking about their kids and thinking about their home mortgage problem and thinking about all of these different things. And we think that they're thinking about what it is that we just told them to do. And they only heard 30% of it. And so, again, I'll come back to that. It's so important. And I can't overemphasize that you really clarify it and lay it out in such a way and make sure that it's understood. And the last point along, you know, defining a purpose and being clear about it is really the follow-up to it. As leaders, you know, you're the diligent, passionate, persistent person who has to continually keep that vision in the forefront of everyone's minds because they've got all these distractions, they've got all these things going on. Life is busy and life is crazy. And if you're not continuing to keep that at the forefront, continuing to ask the questions, continuing to get people to stay focused on it, then there's going to be drift in whoever you're leading. I was talking to one of our supervisors about a month ago, and you know, he's working in the plant, and where I'm walking through with, and I'm pointing some things out, and I'm standing there, and I said, Do you see that? And he said, no. And then he looks and then he sees it. And what it was is there was some glass there and it had some, you know, buildup on it or something like that. And certainly cleanliness and everything in the food industry is very important. But he was looking at something else. He was looking at efficiencies. He's watching the people. He's watching all of this. And he walked right by this. And the point of the story was that he had to adjust his lens. If you ever look through a camera and it's all blurry, and you can see something that's maybe this resolution here, and then you adjust it, and you can see something back there. And I had to help him understand that in his scope of responsibility, in his scope of leadership, he's got to be able to walk through and adjust that lens. And it comes back to the same, you know, on purpose. You've got to be able to zoom in on the details of your purpose and the details of your vision and the details of what you're trying to accomplish. And you've got to be able to zoom out and look at the bigger picture of it. And you've got to be able to focus that lens and help your peers, whoever you're influencing, do that same thing because, again, it's this busyness in life. It's all the things we're dealing with. And you've got to be the one that helps them see that. And you've got to assume that, you know, maybe their lens is a little bit out of adjustment and maybe they need to focus it a little bit. So, and the final point along this, you know, purpose is you've got to be able to hold people accountable to the vision as well. And, you know, a lot of people find that easy when you're an authority, but it's equally important when you're a peer. And if you've laid out the vision, you're passionate about it, you're sold out on it, you've laid it out clearly, and everyone else has bought into it, and everyone understands it, now you've got a common foundation to hold people accountable to, and not in a demeaning way, but in a way of, look at, you know, you agreed to this. We all agreed that this is the right thing, and we're not there, you know, and hold people to it, because they've made the commitment. That's why it's so important to get the commitment on the front end, because you can hold people accountable to it on the tail end. So that's purpose. Second thing really revolves around respect of your peers and trust. I was in a music group at People's Church, and we did some music ministry. And the pastor there, the music pastor, Doug Holk, is just an awesome guy. He told us, he said, relationship precedes truth. And I kind of thought about it. And what he was saying is, we're going to go do this ministry. We're going to get up on stage. We're going to play music. We're going to share our testimony. We're going to share all these things. You're going to share truth. And in leadership, we're trying to influence. We're trying to share some type of truth, some purpose, or some cause. But if you don't have a relationship with people, if you're not developing and cultivating their respect and their trust, then that truth is going to fall on deaf ears in most cases. And so how do we build relationships to attain trust and build respect and credibility for ourselves? Because that's the platform for sharing anything or having influence with anybody. If you're not respected, you can't do it. I don't want to have that confused with friendship either. You know, relationship building and being respected and being trusted isn't necessarily about being best friends with everybody. And a lot of people that work for me that are, you know, of the same level, they don't go out and, you know, spend time together. Their families don't get together and do all of these things. But they still have to have a relationship. They have to be respected and they have to have trust. And some people start to back up, well, I don't want to be best friends with this person. Well, you don't have to be best friends, but you've got to be in a position where you have a common understanding and that you really do trust each other. And that takes time to build. Key point there, a few key points. One is be an example. You're going to be respected. You're going to build a relationship. You're going to be the leader. You've got to be the example. Whatever you're saying, you got to practice in the good days and the bad days. You know, I find myself in the good days, it's kind of easy. In the bad days, it's kind of hard. And you want to default to that human nature of being more aggressive or getting upset or doing things. But you've got to pull yourself back and be that example. Second point along those same lines is you've got to be honest. And this seems second nature as Christians. You know, honesty is certainly important or paramount. I mean, we're called to be that. But even among people who believe honesty is important, believe that the most honest people in the world, sometimes they're very hesitant to, they don't lie, but it's also easy to avoid certain conversations. It's easy to not want to get into conflict. It's easy to not want to share the hard truths with other people. And you can't do that. To me, that's not being honest. I mean, that's not being real with people. And if you're going to have real relationships and you're going to influence people, you've got to have that kind of open dialogue. And I find myself, you know, having a hard time with that. It's difficult. But if you don't do it, you leave assumptions, and assumptions lead to gossip, and gossip leads to all kinds of terrible things. And so having those open, honest conversations is a tough thing, but it's absolutely essential if you're going to have real relationships, not just superficial relationships. The next thing is be humble. I think ego is one of the biggest killers I see in people's leadership aptitude. And some people in leadership think they've got to be, you know, the boss and sit up and look down at everybody else. Or maybe they don't think that, but they certainly portray it. And it's held back more people than I can count. And there's numerous stories of various people. There was one fellow that I worked with and worked with and worked with, and something finally clicked with him, and he realized that how much it was holding him back, because he thought, well, I know this and I know that and I have this and I understand that and all of these things. And the reality was he did, but it killed his relationships. And if he didn't have relationships and he couldn't accomplish anything, he was so frustrated. And the only way for him to finally get past that frustration was to realize that, yeah, he's got a lot going for him, but he certainly doesn't have everything going for him, and he's got a lot to learn. And it was a real learning lesson in humility for him. And, you know, I think going back to vision, if the vision is bigger than yourself and you've gotten other people to buy into it, then you're really in the process of being humble already, because you're not after your own self-exaltation. And I find myself with humility kind of going back and forth between confusing humility, I think, with weakness or meekness. And I think there's a danger there as well. So on the one hand, being humble and not being arrogant, but it doesn't mean that you kind of, you know, get real small and go in the background. It really means that you promote that vision as being bigger than yourself, and you're the one who has to promote what you're trying to, you know, how you're trying to influence people, and you're not going to do it from a position of weakness. People have to have confidence in you as a leader, but not they don't want to see arrogance. So there's a fine line there, and as young leaders, you know, this is a challenge, because you're talking, you know, you may be dealing with people who are older than yourself. And you certainly don't want to be arrogant, because that's, you know, even more negative if you're younger. But you also don't want to be perceived as the young guy who doesn't know anything. So it's something that you just got to keep working through. And certainly as Christians, you know, I think the greatest example of all, or certainly the greatest example of all time, is Christ coming to earth and humbling himself. And he did that to establish relationship. And what better example for us than to look at that? The best way to have a relationship is to, you know, put other people before ourselves. And right along the same lines, or maybe the bottom line to all of relationship is if you're loving and you're selfless, you're going to have success and all the things that go along with that. And I doubt that it's any small reason that that's the greatest commandment at all, is to love the Lord our God and to love our neighbors. And you know, God sees that as, this is how we're going to build relationship, and if you have that, you're going to be able to influence people. Saying all of that, I guess along the same lines would be that it takes a long time. Be patient. And I think the younger we are, the longer it takes to build respect. And you can't go into something as a leader and say, well, I deserve respect. You've got to earn it. It just takes a long time. And, you know, I would love to sit here and tell you that I've got 400 people that respect me, but I've probably, you know, hardly got a fraction of people. But every day, you know, there's probably more people, because I try to do what I think is right and try to build relationship and try to do the things and influence people in the right way. And people will see that over time. And the counter to that is that credibility that you've established can be lost in a second. And certainly we see that every day on the news with somebody else, you know, doing something wrong or something dumb and losing that respect. So it's something we got to guard. So if you've done all those things, I guess to support all of those, or maybe the basis for all of that would be the third point, is become a student of yourself and your peers. You really can't do the first two if you're not doing that. And certainly, it helps you clarify your purpose and build relationships the more you understand yourself and you understand others. And they, you know, kind of becomes a positive circle of improvement. Within that, a few things. Be open about your strengths and weaknesses. I think understanding yourself, you really need to know where you're at. And certainly there's a lot of personality tests, and there's a lot of tools out there to kind of do self-assessments, and I would imagine most of you have probably done some of those at one time or another. And be honest about your weaknesses. This is something that, you know, I've found myself challenged with sometimes is everybody already knows what you're not good at. So it's really not a big secret, but we like to think it's a big secret. And the reality is, you know, when you're just honest about it, you improve your relationship, you improve respect, you improve trust, because it's like, hey, this is someone I can follow. They're honest about it. They're not good at that, you know. And sure, we may establish that as something we want to improve, but there's also certain personality things that just aren't going to change. And so I think the sooner that we're honest about those things for ourselves and with the people that we're trying to influence, the better we're going to be at things. Because you're going to have the respect you need. And that's really about leading yourself, you know, looking into yourself and saying, you know, where am I at? Where can I improve? You know, where do I just need to put my hands up and say, I need some help on this? And, you know, that's just a constant thing that we've got to continue to do. And I encourage people to look and really evaluate themselves on some type of routine, whether it's, you know, every 3 months or 6 months. Is if you're laying out some of the things that you're good at and some of the things you're weak at, and what's your progression plan, what are you trying to do to improve yourself? Really stepping back every once in a while, not day to day, because you're going to confuse all the people you're trying to influence if you change direction all the time. But on a periodic basis, stepping back and saying, you know, where am I at realistically? And taking some time out, and where are you doing well and where are you doing not so well, and what's your plan to get better? And you could have mentors trying to help pour into you, and I would certainly encourage that. But you never want to stop growing. And again, I would come back to, it's a discipline of taking the time, and another discipline along, you know, the same lines is writing it down. It's so easy just to say, oh, I've got it figured out. But 3 months from now, you forgot exactly what you were trying to accomplish. And if you write down some personal goals and things that you're trying to work on yourself at and trying to understand yourself better, then you're going to have more buy-in and more commitment to work on them. So another point under understanding yourself and your peers is always assume you're the problem first. A lot of people, myself included in all this, I'm saying a lot of people, but, you know, we as humans want to say someone else is responsible, it's someone else's fault, it's someone else did this, someone else did that, and we're not necessarily just trying to do that, but it's just an natural inclination. And if you stop yourself and you assume that, as a leader, you assume that you're responsible for influencing people and people aren't being influenced the way you want, then you've got to assume that you're the problem first and then evaluate it and find out, what am I doing or not doing that I could be doing? And after you've exhausted all of those evaluations, and maybe it is the other person, but what are you doing or not doing to help that person or influence that person to be better? But the first thing is to point the finger at yourself and figure that out. Knowing your peers is just as important as knowing yourself, or knowing the people that you're trying to influence is just as important as knowing yourself. It's real easy to get a cursory opinion of people and look at someone and say, okay, I know that person, I understand that person, I understand what makes them tick, just by looking at them. You know, and certainly in today's society, all the discrimination issues and all the things that we talk about, but yet we continue to do that as people. And I'm just as guilty as anybody is. You look at someone and in a few seconds you want to have an opinion. And if you go forward as a leader based on that opinion, you're going to have some, you may be right sometimes and other times you're not right. But you've got to dig into people, and it comes back to relationship, to understand what their strengths and weaknesses are just as important as your strengths and weaknesses. And it's going to help you get the right people in the right place. If you're figuring who's complementary to you and who's the same as you and how they're different than you and how they're the same, it's going to help fill your weaknesses, and it's going to help them strive to their strengths. And in doing that, you're going to put together a group of people who's successful. And it's going to also cause you to adapt your own leadership style, which, you know, I've found is very important. You know, you go into a situation and you assume, here's how I'm going to lead and this is the way that I do things, and I've watched a lot of people do that. And they work with certain people, but then they don't work with other people. And you've got to be able to adapt yourself to whatever the climate is. And this person's going to respond to something differently than this person. And that person's going to respond to something different than this person. If you're going to influence people, you got to be able to understand that and really dig deep into what drives those people. I think the Apostle Paul maybe is a good example. Look at what he did going from country to country to country. Everyone's different. Every country's a little bit different. Yet he had the same message. He had the same thing he was trying to share. But he was able to acclimate it to whatever the situation was. And as leaders, you know, as a leader, he knew that in order to influence people, he had to become a little bit different in each situation. Not compromising anything, but adapting his approach. And it's no different for us in leading any situation. So those are the key things that I wanted to talk about. Defining your purpose, building respect, and really understanding yourself and others. Again, it's real simple and real hard to do. So, but my challenge is, you know, continue to ask questions, continue to grow, continue to just go forward and challenge yourself as a leader and continue to improve. So I think that's our call. So, at this point, we'll open it up to questions and conversation or whatever.